Welcome to Inside the Program, presented by Inside Texas. I'm Joe Cook, got Eric Nalene. Thank you for watching. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. End of June means some official visits winding down, coming to a close. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting and the crucial stretch that the Longhorn coaching staff is entering with one last visit weekend decisions upcoming, July 4th being International Commit Day, as it turns out. But the current team is still getting after it. But they lightened the load a little bit this past week, didn't they, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, they've been hitting it hard since they got back on June 2nd. And I think the staff just let them get a little bit of a breather. They definitely still did their workouts. They still did their seven-on-sevens, player-led practices and all that. But as far as the weight work went, they weren't hitting as hard as they were. Just, you know, call it a deload or whatever. You don't have to worry about it. They're just I think it's just a week to, you know, you also have a bunch of people back from injuries too that I think they just want to take it a little bit easier. But those guys are looking good. I'm really excited about where the team is right now.
A couple of the guys, you know, they're doing a lot of seven-on-seven work. They're doing some player-run practices. And there are about three skill position guys who really stood out to some of the people you talked to. Let's start on offense. You know, Ryan Wingo, deep threat, DeAndre Moore, everywhere else. And both those guys have really stepped it up over the course of the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, the receivers were hearing pretty much everything we'd hoped to at this point of the year. DeAndre Moore looks exceptional. And, you know, when our source said that, I asked him to go a little bit deeper on what he meant by exceptional. He said everything is just super urgent. Everything is crisp when he runs routes, which is a little bit of a cliche, but his routes are running. He's running better routes than ever before. He's just extremely urgent. He looks explosive. He's in fantastic shape. He's doing a lot of the underneath stuff, a lot of the mid-range stuff for Arch. And then you got Ryan Wingo. I asked if Wingo and Arch are on the same page, and I heard, yeah, they look great working together. Wingo is doing a little bit more of the damage over the top using his length and speed to win deep. So, you know, I feel really good about the receivers, despite the lack of necessarily, you know, production. We've seen the talent for sure. I think they're both poised for a breakout. I'm not sure who's going to lead the team in catches right now. If I had to guess, I might go with Wingo, but man, DeAndre Moore's looking really good right now.
More from the zero sum. Those guys are getting after it. They're getting, you know, good reps on opposing DBs, but those opposing DBs are also putting together some quality plays. And one of the guys you heard about playing a little bit lighter in Kobe Black, that has him having a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're hearing good things about Kobe. Slimmer. You know, we noted last year they wanted him to get a little bit leaner, which meant that they see him as a corner. They were never going to try to move him to safety despite his larger build. And yeah, he's hovering between, you know, 190, 195 pounds and looks like $1 million. And he's starting to play close to it too. You know, there's going to be, I talked to sources, there's going to be quite the battle in August between him and Jalen Gilbo to see who's going to start. There's a, you know, based on what I've heard, you know, recently, there's a possibility that Kobe Black will start.
Going to be fun to watch Dwayne Akina operate, how he runs his room, doing it a little bit different than Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph. Speaking of that DB room, a couple injury updates. One, you wanted to hear a little bit about Derek Williams, how he's looking in his return, and also to the other side of the football, CJ Baxter, how he's done, and now that he is able to go through more reps and be with team activities as opposed to just off to the side doing rehab work.
Yeah, Williams continues to look good. I think it's likely that he starts based on what we're hearing right now. Definitely not 100%, or at least not 100% comfortable running around with his knee. Health-wise, probably 100%, but just not quite there, not quite as explosive, hasn't returned to his explosiveness yet. Same we heard about Jonah. You could tell the guy's coming from baseball rather than football workouts, so he's working out some kinks, even though he's picking up things pretty fast. CJ Baxter, really, really excited about what we're hearing about him. He was looking good in agility drills, and agility drills, usually you have to turn very quickly, much like a running back. It can be very abrupt movements. You worry about a little bit of wear and tear on his knee, but he's looking really good, even with his much more mature frame. He's up to about, I don't know, he's probably about 225 pounds right now. But he's moving really well. So as far as injury goes, man, it sounds like the whole team is either healthy right now or going to be healthy for August for sure.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure that all those guys are ready to go for week one up in Columbus. Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Academy. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering military and first responders 10% off your purchase, both in your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and online from April 27th through July 4th. Exclusions apply. Visit academy.com/discount for details. We'll keep on going. And Eric, like I mentioned, the end of official visit season is this weekend. Some big players making their treks to Austin, including an in-state offensive lineman in John Turntine that Longhorns are in quite a battle with, not just with in-state opposition, but some out-of-state players too.
Yeah, this is a big cycle for Texas. You can tell that it's pretty obvious right now how hard they're focused on building out the lines, offensive line, defensive line. They're off to a really good start at D-tackle. Off to a pretty good start on the offensive line, but they've got to land, some of these elite guys that are it's coming to a head here in the next couple of weeks. Turntide coming to campus, long anticipated official visit. Texas had the lead for a very long time, but now it's very touch and go with A&M and Michigan. And no, this is not just NIL. Texas is going to have to, do a really good job recruiting him, recruiting the family. This family is a little bit more focused on academics and stuff than others. People say, well, why is he going to A&M if they're focused on academics? Well, A&M's doing a really good job recruiting him in, proximity. They have the proximity advantage over Michigan, I believe. But Texas can provide both proximity and a great education. Kyle Flood has done a great job building a relationship. But they have to come with a very strong weekend, and I think they will.
Speaking of this weekend, a big commitment is set to go down. Vodney Cleveland from Birmingham Parker. Seems like it's down to Texas, Florida, and Auburn, maybe a couple other schools, one-time Alabama commit. Texas, we think, is in good shape for this one ahead of his June 21st decision.
Yeah, it's Texas and then Florida. We feel good. I upped my RPM confidence yesterday to 85%. Can't go 90% anymore just because it's tough to go 90% anymore given the vicissitudes of recruiting, but we feel good. But we think by tomorrow night, Kenny Baker's going to have three defensive tackles. There's going to be room for one more unless they can get a numbers buster. He's having a hell of a cycle. It started with having a hell of a big board. That's why we track these big boards early on, because big board's going to tell the story of how the class is going to go. That's a good one. Obviously, I think, the one I've been excited about, and I thought this was going to happen later in the cycle, is Tyler Atkinson, the linebacker out of Georgia. I think he's fantastic on tape. They've got to capitalize off of Anthony Hill, having his fantastic career. It's only going to get better this season. That's one that I think everybody's been watching, but nobody feels confident there because in the NIL era, you gotta be smart how you allocate your money. I think the price might have to come down a little bit on him.
Always going to be tough to get guys from Georgia, but Texas working all over the country to get their class. Speaking of, what does you wrote the other day trying to talk about what a successful recruiting class looks like, and you mentioned a handful of elements. One was very much on display this past week with Dia Bell winning Elite 11 MVP. It needs to be him, and it needs to be the guy protecting him. That's one big element, but what are some of the other ones?
Yeah, well, so first, what we're doing is we're monitoring the landscape. We're in the middle of a landscape shift after having a very big landscape shift just a couple of years ago, and so I think a lot of schools are acting hastily to get guys, which I think makes sense. But in talking to people, not just at Texas, but in the Southeast that are kind of involved in this NIL recruiting era, they think that the prices are about to come down, later in the cycle. So, I think everybody should wait to see that Texas took a patient approach last cycle. I think they're going to do that again, outside of the guys that just want to be in the class and are trying to reserve spots. A lot of the guys that they got recently are the types that want to reserve their spot, make sure they didn't miss out. Successful class, obviously, you got to have the franchise in Dia and the franchise protecting him too. So that's two. You got to have Ojo. Obviously, tackle is just a big need in the class in general. And then you've got a talent that only comes around once every 4 or 5 years in the state of Texas in Felix Ojo. Dia Bell just won Elite 11. We don't always put a lot of stock in those camps, but when a guy like Dia Bell, who can also win with his legs, is winning the Elite 11, and Keyshawn Henderson did well from Houston, that says a lot about their overall upside. If they've got the passing mechanics down, but they're not even using the threat of their legs yet, he's got a chance to be special. And, I think, he was, you said he was the first one to win it for Texas.
I believe so. First Texas commit.
First Texas commit. So, yeah, Arch didn't participate. I remember everybody. Well, I remember that everybody said he's afraid to compete and all that. Like Arch Manning needs to go to the Elite 11. Arch probably would have won it in a very similar fashion to Dia Bell, honestly. So, very good development there. You know, there's a lot of different things that are going to go into whether or not this is this class meets its needs. But, you know, normally we talk about fungibility. If they miss on one guy, he's so important because they can't find another. Normally, right now, they've got two guys. You know, they just got to get one or two of them. You know, at Jack, you got Trent Henderson. Going to be tough to pull him away from Florida. He's from Pensacola. Proximity helps them quite a bit. And then you've got I'm drawing a blank real quick.
Richard Wesley.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Richard Wesley. God, I love his tape too. Even though he decommitted from Oregon, I think the Ducks are in a pretty good spot for him. So hopefully they can get one of those two. You know, we call it splitting aces. Hopefully they can get one of them. They've got to find a replacement for Colin Simmons in this cycle. They took Smith Orogbo last year, which I thought was a brilliant move because he was on a longer trend line. Wasn't going to need immediate playing time to keep him happy. But they still got to take. They got to take another guy at that position that's going to be able to have a year to prepare and then take over for Colin. That's paramount. And then four-man DT class. I don't even think they need a five-star. They've got a really good board right now. The portal guys at tackle are all hitting in workouts. They love what they're seeing there. And so, you know, they don't have to go get a Justice Terry this cycle. They just need four solid guys. They can take like a heightened approach to what Tom Herman had, where he wanted to get a lot of guys in the program, develop them, and then start playing them when they're 21, 22 years old. These guys, the guys that they're getting and will likely get tomorrow, are going to be full-grown men when they're 21, 22, and they're going to be putting a hurt on the offensive linemen across from them. I love what they're doing. There's a number of other things, a lead corner. But, you know, maybe they already have a lead corner with Jermaine Bishop. They feel good on Samari Matthews. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I should probably already have a prediction in for him. And then do not sleep on Texas's chances with Devon Benjamin. Oregon, the problem with Oregon is that they are getting quite desperate. They've had a number of misses at the position. But Texas is doing a really good job selling DBU and the carryover ability from Mark Orphy from Terry Joseph. Like, you know, Orphy is viewed as a rising star as a coach at the position. He's already developed guys in the NFL players at places like Rutgers. What's he going to do with Texas talent? Devon Benjamin is very, very high up the board. So is Samari Matthews. That DB class is going to be sneaky, sneaky good.
Should be a lot of fun to track over the course of the weekend and over the next couple of weeks. So make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. We do have a link in the description. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. Any big news that pops, we're going to have it right here. So, Eric, thank you so much. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.